You might not realize it, but there's an invisible layer hiding right under the surface here in Bloomington Normal, and it plays a huge role in who gets to do what and where they get to do it. It's the zoning code, and Bloomington is due for a much-needed overhaul of that document. It's been years since the city's land use rules got a makeover. GLT's Ryan Denham explores what's at stake, from where you park your car to what your neighbor can put in his yard.
That's the sound of Jeff Henry's bees. Jeff is an urban beekeeper here in Bloomington, hoping to reverse an alarming decline in pollinators like honeybees that threatens our global food supply. But first, Henry has a smaller problem to deal with, city zoning code. Henry has three hives against his back fence at his Founders Grove home, producing enough honey to make bread and keep his neighbors happy. So the father of three was concerned with the first draft of a new beekeeping ordinance that would have required his hives to be 20 feet away from his lot line. He'd have to move his hives into the middle of his driveway. For someone with a smaller lot, that might be inside their kitchen.
There's all kinds of signs in different grocery stores about tomatoes and cucumbers and green peppers and pumpkins, and all these things are pollinated by bees. So if you don't have bees, you can really look around your grocery store and see a lot of foods that are going to go away. And they haven't come up with a good alternative to bees pollinating the crops.
So if it's not 20 feet, what should it be?
I believe the Peoria and the Springfield have a 4 feet or 6 feet off of a lot line. Again, bees fly in a 2 mile radius. You know, we're standing here however many 10 feet away from the hives and we haven't seen a bee. So it's not that big of a deal. So I don't know what the magic number is, but I just think 20 is a big number.
The beekeeper changes are one small part of a major multi-year zoning overhaul underway in Bloomington. Sparked by the city's 2015 comprehensive plan, the Bloomington Planning Commission and a consultant have been rewriting the entire code, hoping to craft an easier-to-understand guide for what you can do where. Here's Bloomington city planner Katie Simpson.
The current zoning ordinance really needed to be modernized. It allows for uses such as like a telegraph message center, which we probably don't see too many of anymore.
Like other parts of the zoning overhaul, the proposed changes related to beekeeping connect to a goal within the city's comprehensive plan, in this case, to encourage local food production. That's people like Henry, who learned the craft by taking a class with the Central Illinois Beekeepers Association. He makes honey under the name Henry's Honeys, a nod to his three daughters.
We initially went around to the neighbors, even prior to getting the hives. We asked a bunch of the neighbors what their thoughts were, and everyone was all for it. Everyone around here understands the implications on the environment that bees bring. So we made a conscious effort to try to contact as many neighbors as we could. And everyone was completely in favor of it.
Henry voiced his concerns about the zoning changes earlier this year. He met one-on-one with Bloomington Planning Commission Chairman Justin Boyd. And it worked. The latest version of the beekeeping ordinance lowered the minimum lot line distance to 10 feet, down from the 20 originally proposed by the city's consultant, Chicago-based Housel Levine Associates. Here's Justin Boyd.
In all fairness, John Housel and his associate or his group, they're not beekeepers either. So they're looking at some of these ordinances throughout the country and trying to put together something. And again, that's why it's important that the beekeepers got involved so we could understand their point of view.
Boyd says zoning code needs to be written for everyone. That's the beekeepers and those who may have concerns about, you know, bees.
They have changed the way this proposal was written just by them showing up, speaking at meetings, and emailing and talking one-on-one with us.
The zoning overhaul covers a lot more than just bees. Some of the current code dates back to its inception in the 1960s, although Simpson says there have been some minor changes in cleanup in 1979 and again in 2006. This overhaul started in 2016 when the consultant was hired for $125,000 and the Planning Commission began working on it. They've made revisions section by section, and they're just about done with all 17 chapters. The final drafts are on the city's website. One of the top priorities was reducing minimum lot sizes. Right now, they're too big, meaning nearly 3,000 residential lots are technically non-conforming. Simpson says that could make it harder for a homeowner to get a loan. Another priority was carving up the massive 26-block downtown district into three distinct zones, each with its own purpose. Pedestrian access and circulation would be prioritized in that downtown core district and a second transitional buffer district. Simpson says the third area would be a new warehouse district south of downtown geared toward arts and entertainment, maybe even breweries.
That type of district would allow for live-work art spaces, urban agriculture, hydroponics, aquaponics, restaurants, retail, commercial community kitchens, things things of that nature that are kind of industrial, but tailor more towards the entrepreneurial sector, and that's a district that we don't currently have.
The zoning overhaul also deals with various transportation goals in the city's comprehensive plan. It would encourage shared parking between businesses and electric vehicle charging stations, while adding incentives for carpooling or car sharing spaces. Justin Boyd says it would also promote bicycle parking. A business could offer up to 10% fewer car spots if it offers corresponding amounts of bike spots.
All these kind of new things that have just kind of developed over the last couple years, we need to be planning for those.
One thing it won't do is eliminate parking minimums, or the minimum number of spots a business must have in its parking lot. That concept is growing in popularity as cities try to make themselves more walkable and greener. That's according to Daniel Harrigus with Strong Towns, a national media and advocacy group that aims for financially strong and resilient municipalities.
The number of cities moving away from it is growing. But Strong Towns, we'd certainly like to see it grow a lot faster. It's now parking minimum can be a huge hindrance for small businesses, and it can be a huge impediment to the walkability of an area if you're devoting like half the land to parking spaces that are sitting empty a lot of the time.
Instead, Bloomington is adding parking maximum, essentially capping the number of oft unused spots a developer can add, say outside a big box store. The city's current B3 downtown district is the only one without parking minimums today. Here's Justin Boyd.
All of us have driven by some parking lots in the past and thought, why is this so large? And what kind of development could we start seeing if we didn't require that much parking? Here locally, I mean, I think of like Lowe's, the Dick's parking lot, the former Kmart. Not that those stores aren't successful, but they would have to be slammed every minute of every day to fill up those parking lots. So we could probably get some more tax revenue if we were able to develop in some of those spots.
Simpson says the city is exploring parking maximums of 25%, meaning if the city's zoning code required your business to have, say, 100 spots, you could only have up to 125. She says that will allow for more greenery and landscaping, and reducing the amount of concrete surface area can improve stormwater quality.
Parking is necessary. It's a necessary evil, right? We need it, but it doesn't always get used.
If you're curious about what's in the new zoning overhaul, city officials say now is the time to speak up. The final drafts are available on the Bloomington City website. The consultant, Household Levine Associates, will present the changes to the Bloomington City Council sometime this fall, followed by a community Q&A session and a public hearing. It's expected to come up for a final city council vote by the end of the year. Here's Justin Boyd.
Vast majority of these types of things happen on these boards and commissions throughout the city, and it'd be wise for the public to show up and have their voices heard early in the process before it gets to council.
Daniel Harrigus with Strong Towns says getting the public involved early on is key.
Because we've seen some overhaul efforts really go awry when that grassroots level conversation hasn't happened properly.
Simpson stresses that 6,000 community members were involved in the development of the comprehensive plan that underpins the zoning overhaul. That's good because Harrigus says top-down overhauls can be problematic. The city of Austin, Texas recently scrapped a major and controversial overhaul of its land use code because of a combination of significant disruptions to the process. It cost 5 years and $8.5 million. Harrigus says planning and design professionals can sometimes operate in a bubble, and community input opens that up.
I spend a lot of time talking with people who are in the planning and architecture and development worlds, and there's a certain amount of a bubble that exists where you think, oh, you know, urban density, walkability, mixed use, you take for granted that these things are desirable. And sometimes when our buzzwords make it out to the public, the reaction is very different.
If approved, Community Development Director Bob Mart says part two of the process would then begin, actually rezoning around 450 properties based on the new zoning code. I'm Ryan Denham.
You can find a link to the proposed zoning overhaul at our website, wglt.org.